Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel according to Matthew. One of the things that we have been doing this Christmas season is reading the Christmas time stories of Matthew. When we think of Christmas Eve and the Christmas story, oftentimes we read Luke 2. This past Advent, we've been reading from Matthew. So we'll continue and finish the Christmas story from Matthew this morning. But let us pray before we do. Lord God, we are thankful for your word today, for the flight from Egypt, and for the protection that you give us in our lives from day to day. In this Christmas season, give us hope in Jesus Christ, whose birth the world knows, and help us to proclaim it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord endures forever. So this is an important week in the life of humanity and the church. This is the week that Star Wars came out. Because everybody knows I'm going to talk about Star Wars, but just a little bit this morning. When you think of Star Wars, you always think of the beginning of the story being on a desert planet with someone who has been hidden on that planet to protect them. Someone who will be a leader and a hero later in life, but they've been protected by being in the desert of Tatooine, Jakku, some other planet. This is how all the Star Wars stories seem to begin. And this is how the story begins with Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah, the chosen one of God, but the beginning of Jesus' life is very dangerous. Jesus needs to be protected. Jesus needs to be rescued. Herod is under threat. You see, Herod is the great villain of this story. In Luke's gospel, it's about Caesar, that Jesus is greater than Caesar. Matthew wants you to know that Jesus is greater than Herod, that he is the real king. And so, Jesus and Herod come up against one another, Jesus being a baby, Herod being an old man. And Herod's solution to getting rid of Jesus is to kill all the babies. He doesn't know who Jesus is. He doesn't know who this new king is. So his solution is to murder everyone under two. There is great fear among Jesus' family. But the Lord, in the face of fear, wants one response from Joseph and one response from all of us in the birth of Jesus Christ. Fear not. Over and over again, the scriptures say, fear not. Another way of saying that is to take courage. Sometimes courage means staying and fighting. And sometimes courage means getting away. Courage always means one thing, though. It always means listening to the voice of the Lord and doing what the voice of the Lord says. You see, we live in an age of fear. An age of fear because there's violence that has seemed to pop up everywhere around the world. An age of fear because it is unpredictable and because we see so much of the world on television, on the internet. There have been 2 decades of chaos, and more retribution and retaliation seems to be the way of the world, much like Jesus' own day. And in Jesus Christ, God is proclaiming another way to do things. The other reason we are reading Matthew this year is because the Presbyterian Church has declared the church to be a Matthew 25 church. What that means is that we follow the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 25. And that has great implications for this text today and implications for our lives. Just to shorten the text of Matthew 25, what Matthew 25 says is when Jesus is talking to those about those in the community, have you seen me? If you've seen Jesus, you have helped someone who is in need. Whether they need a cup of water, food, whether they're in prison, whether they're sick. Jesus says, if you've seen one of those and helped one of those, you've helped me. Jesus is in the position of one of those people. Jesus would not have asked for help if he had not found himself early in life in that way, in the needs of others. So first, we must listen to the voice of the Lord as Joseph did. Joseph heard God's voice in a dream and listened. Imagine if Joseph had woken up from his dream and said, "Woo, that was some strange food that I ate last night," and ignored what God had said. But instead, Joseph listens that this is God's voice in his dream, and he obeys. When God speaks, do we have the courage to listen? Where is God speaking to you in your life, and where are you playing it safe? Where do you need to have courage in your life today? John Shedd said it this way about ships. A ship is safe in the harbor, but that is not what ships are for. For our lives, God wants us to take the ship of our life out into the ocean, out away from shore, into the places that God has called us to live in faith and hope. God wants us to have courage to do that. Joseph could have had great fear and panic, but instead he chose courage. And Joseph went into a foreign land. He went to the place that his fellow Jews had escaped so many years ago. Which reminds me of the movie Indiana Jones, when Indy's friend was going to Egypt to hide. And Indy told the bad guys, he said, "My friend can blend in to any circumstances, any situation." Then the camera cuts to Indiana Jones's friend, and he's dressed in white. And he is the only white-skinned person in the whole market, and he sticks out like a sore thumb. I would imagine Joseph would have done the same thing, going into Egypt to a place that he didn't know the language, where he had no job, no friends. This was a place that he was going to live until he was safe. This took real courage and a real leap of faith to do. Which reminds us of those in our own world today. Those who are refugees in our own world. On Christmas Eve, we take up an offering for Paul Sidner, who works with refugees in Europe. The refugees who come to Paul's ministry come from all over Africa. Paul stood in this pulpit and told us their story a few years ago about how their family gets into trouble in their home country. They're under threat of death, and they have to flee all the way across the continent of Africa then all the way across the Mediterranean Sea, and finally to Europe, where they hope that someone will give them asylum, and they hope that they will be treated well. When we find those who are in need, how do we treat them? I believe that God is calling us to treat many people with respect that do not have it today. As Matthew 25 discusses, those who are in prison, those who are the weakest, those who are the poorest, those are the people that God will judge us on. God will judge us on the youngest. If we really believe in the children in our community and in our world, how do we treat those who are under two, like in this story? How do we treat those who have just been born and are the weakest? Human beings, when we are born, are the weakest of all the animals. We need someone else to care for us. Our brains may be big, but our bodies are small. We need those who are older, bigger, and stronger to care for us. When you want to know how people of courage are, people of courage are like a bag of tea, someone once said. You never know the strength of the tea until it's in hot water. That's the way our lives are. Sometimes we find ourselves in hot water, and that is when the courage that we show in the Lord Jesus Christ really shines through. Samuel Johnson once said, "Nothing will ever be accomplished if every objection must be overcome." All of the yeah buts to God. Yeah, I would do that, God, but I have to do this first. Sometimes we have to have the courage to strike out and do what it is God is calling us to do. Sometimes we have to have the courage to move forward in our lives. Finally, it takes trust in the Lord to keep Jesus first. It's tempting to think that this is a story just about Joseph, just as our lives are just about us. But instead, the scriptures being fulfilled here that Matthew is so quick to point out show that the scripture is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and that God's plan is the plan for Jesus Christ to be delivered from Egypt. God's plan will be done, and the message to share the kingdom of heaven now, not just now in Jesus' time, but now, the message that God continues to proclaim here, God wants us to have trust and faith in Jesus Christ to proclaim that message, and to proclaim the repentance that comes to life, the forgiveness of sins, the hope of the mercy of God. The kingdom of heaven and repentance is a simple message, but it is the message of Christmas. That's the proclamation that Jesus came to share, and that is the proclamation that Jesus has called us to share. Adversity will be overcome. We will face challenges in life and in our challenge to minister, both together and to one another and to the world. Adversity will come, but Jesus Christ will overcome it. God is calling you out of Egypt today, whatever your Egypt is. If it is your Egypt of unbelief in Christ and not knowing Him personally, then trust in Him. Believe in God. Know that God has called you out of your personal Egypt as well, to deliver you from the chains of life, to deliver you from whatever is holding you back, whether it is your sin or your past, anything in your life. God is calling you out of Egypt today as well. For the table is set. God's grace is real. God's mercy is true. And God is calling you out of Egypt. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus Christ, grant us new life today and the courage to follow you and to follow Jesus Christ, to become a church that follows the commandments of Christ, the teachings that he came to give, to care for him wherever we find him. Thirsty, hungry, in prison, as a refugee, in any circumstance, when we find others in need, we find you and we find your call. May your Spirit guide us and be with us. Through Jesus Christ, our Messiah and Lord. Amen.